kept that Daxi coin in my back pocket. And and I purposely haven't talked a lot about it. I actually have always inferred to little things about it, and I still have some stuff in my back pocket. And just when we look at, I have a way of multiplying the number of tokens that are brought onto the Daxi chain. I have a way of multiplying that by a factor of 20. And it was a system that I actually developed for the ICO listing, that RAF, for those of you that know our CTO, that RAF developed for us in April 2018. And the power of doing that will, as I said, will mean that in a country, a person who's the person who is the chief, the licensee that we have, now wherever they are in the world, they become what's called a they get what's called a writer node. It allows them to create tokens, allows us to automate that process. But more importantly, like that, there's a way in which we can do it such that the whole process can be leveraged and multiplied. Because it was pretty obvious. It was pretty obvious. We used to have a business called Crypto VC. Do you remember that, Squid?
Be relaunched.
Well, Crypto VC, Andy, do you remember we used to talk about Crypto VC? And crypto VC was really simple. It was really simple. The original concept of, which is still the same actually, the original concept was at the heart of the business, you have a community-based exchange, which means you have an exchange plus a community. Okay. And if you put that into, and you now call it a platform. So we call that a platform. But at its essence is one individual wealth builder who has an ability to buy, sell, store, transfer assets, which is known as an exchange, and a community, which is provides all the information, education, inspiration, and support that someone needs to build their confidence to be able to get involved in this sort of business, without the need to turn around and go, it's too hard, I need to put my money in some fund where some big organization is just going to take all my profits. And it's like, it's not really rocket science. So if that's what you have, and if it's just buying a bit of Bitcoin, all right, with a few bundles, it's like no big deal. But our whole idea with Crypto VC was, the reality is we needed a division whose job it is to bring new opportunities to the individuals that are in the exchange, because there's going to come a time when it worked, when the actual idea of bringing tokenized assets to the public was going to work. On the other side, when those tokens or coins were listed and funded, we needed a place which could have an exchange, so people were able to sell. So it's called a secondary market, but because this was going to have a whole lot of new coins, and we wanted it to be the sort of same for everyone, anyone who wanted to list these things, we should put it on one exchange because that would be good for us to own it. And we call it a venture exchange. Okay. And it was different. It was different. So it was a simple look. I talked to a guy today who's the boss of MLC. Okay. So he's NAB Wealth. All right. For those of you that are not Australians, you will know that NAB is one of the four largest banks in Australia, and their wealth division. So I was just yakking to the boss of that. So I was waking up talking to the boss of that, because we're hiring his right-hand man tomorrow to be the new national sales manager for Daxi in Australia. And because we need a guy who's really, really, really high powered when it comes to the education of the largest financial, when it comes to educating all the accountants, all the financial advisors, and all the people who will be advising everyone's clients. Would you agree? Yeah. you got to be able to do that. So, and it's a process that may take us 12 months to be able to do, but so I found this guy who'll be able to do it. And he's already agreed. So his name is Chris and he's joining us tomorrow. So, and the point is that I was talking to, this guy used to be the boss of Westpac wealth division, and now he's the boss of NAB Wealth. Okay. And it was just, we were just having a yak. We were just having a yak about buying crypto and how wealth building and all that sort of stuff, because obviously he's one of the biggest guys in wealth, in the wealth industry in Australia. And I was just saying, what do you think about all this? And he goes, and I explained Daxi to him, and he went, holy crap. He goes, that sounds like, he said, I sit on the investment committee of NAB Wealth, of MLC. And I went, okay. And he goes, what you guys are the future. That idea, I hope my friend is going to be part of. He says that whole space makes total sense. They talk about it, but no one really understands it. And that's the real thing about what we're doing. I want you to be clear about it. It's we're not trying to do the, a lot of people who talk about crypto, they act like the world is just going to embrace something totally new. Do you know what I, do you want to know, do you know, you want to know what I know about the public? Is they don't like embracing anything new. Would you agree with me? Yeah, they just don't like it. They just don't like it. They hate doing it. And therefore, for me, it was always a matter when I looked at crypto, and when I, especially when I looked at tokenization, and I got, for those of you that know now, I got shown it. I went to the first ever token conference in New York. And I sat there and I went, it's not what you guys think. This is just tokenization of crowdfunding. And people were talking about tokenization of property. And I was sitting next to this guy who'd built and just sold one of Africa's largest IT firms. And he was pretty savvy entrepreneur, owned a couple of game parks and all that sort of stuff. And we'd met over a coffee and sat together and talked about stuff. And I went, this is just a whole new era of assets, but it's just going to be the normal stuff. And we have to explain it to people like the normal way. Otherwise, it's going to be too hard for them. Imagine the public talking about having to embrace something that is so new financially and and it's technical as well, and trying to explain it to older dudes like me. Like they'll have a punt, but they never really put the sort of money on the table that will actually make an impact on their life. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? Like everyone can have a punt on a bit of Bitcoin. But if you actually, as an organization, as a group of people, if you actually want to make a difference, then the only way you make a difference is you help people build their wealth by putting down money that they can't afford to lose. And that's, when you talk to people, they hear, oh, only put on in enough money that you can afford to lose. And that's just bullshit. That's the sort of advice you give to someone going to a casino. We want to talk about the money that people can't afford to lose, that don't want to lose, that actually are turning around and saying, show me a way that I can put some money with you, and in 10 years' time, for it to be have grown such that I made a better decision. When I look at my other investments, whether in property or shares or whatever it is, when I compare that to this area, that it was a smart decision for me to do. That's all we're trying to do. And that's the way I've always tried to do it. The only challenge is that we learned, and Squiddle know this, okay. And actually, I can see Ben Coker there in the UK. I can see Andy Tran there. I think D, I saw D. Look, we learnt a while ago that if you try and focus people on this tokenization and crowdfunding and crowd finance and crowd all this sort of stuff, you get them to focus on that, they get really, really excited, but don't do anything. They wait around. They're all saying, oh, wait around until that arrives. And we don't want that. We want them to get in now. So in a year's time or 2 years time or whatever it is, who gives a crap, they can take the profits that they've made in this period through this boom in crypto and the cryptocurrencies. They may take the profits out of that and then transfer them into these new areas where they make more profits, such that in 10 years' time, they may have recycled their money by, I don't know, three or four times, but each time it was just a transfer from one area to another area because it's reached, most of the way for their profitability. You don't want to try and hit the top. So that's, that's as a business, that's really where that's as a business, that's always been my philosophy, because I'm this crazy guy. I'll have a crack at anything. Do you know what I mean? I'm actually not a gambler, but I'm very entrepreneurial as far as that sort of stuff. But as far as, pissing around with people's money that they've had to save and work hard for all their life, like you don't stuff around with that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? You don't stand there. When I think of my mother, some of you know that I always used to talk about what would we could recommend to my mother. And that's the primary driver of what we do in Daxi, but it's true. The only things I would ever recommend to anyone in this company is the same stuff that I would recommend to my mother. And if you don't have that mentality, then I think you don't really understand what space you're in. If there is another space in crypto that is really speculative, and that's fantastic, because there are some really big wins there, but you could also lose your shirt. Okay, so for us, we've now had a period whereby we're in our big expansion period. Okay, we're in our expansion period now. I'm spending my life every week at the moment. I think the number of employees in Daxi goes up by 2. Okay. Which sounds good, but you don't have to hire them and onboard them and train them, that sort of stuff. But for me, it's important it happens because it works with the scaling of all the things we do. And it's what I like about things happening is lots of good things. So look, I've sort of announced things, and I know that some of this stuff is pretty different. Fundamentally, the listing process, so long as guys understand that, this initial listing that we have to do, the CREX 24 thing, that's just to get out onto the marketplace. Do you understand? It's like, it's just, we have to do it to go through the process, and we don't know them very well and all that sort of stuff. We use what's called a listing agent. They've listed 500 coins. They're really, really connected, because it's not about CREX 24. It's about the big boys. It's how do you get with those big boys? And so we've paid a lot of money to get people who know the listing people of some very, very big exchanges, because once we get in with that crowd, it means we're in with the crowd. Do you know what I mean? It means that we can then, that means that the next step, because the really thing is you want to get with lots of the big tier ones. You want to get on what's called Binance and Hobai and OK and Bbox and KuCoin and Bittrex and BitMEX and BitFlip and everything else, and because those are the guys that have all the trading liquidity, and they're mainly Asian, okay. And a lot of the exchanges that you've heard of are certainly in Australia: CoinSpot, CoinJar, BTC, Independent Reserve. Frankly, they're too flippin' small for us to give a shit about. may sound a bit rude, and they could do 15 million a day, but against these big guys who do half a billion a day or 2 billion a day, who gives a crap? And the fact is unless you're with the big boys, you just don't get the liquidity because so much of the volume is focused on the big coins. If you're not with the big exchanges, you don't get, if you're a new coin or if you're building coin, you actually don't get the liquidity. Okay. And that's the stepping stone. And but it is only a stepping stone. The next stepping stone is to get on to Binance and to get on to those organizations. And our guys who advise us have done that before, have taken coins and got them onto the big boys. Because when you're on the big boys, you end up on sort of, 100 exchanges in the world. And people have asked me, why are we keeping the Daxi coin on the Ethereum blockchain on what's called an ERC20? So I've been asked this 4 times in the last 3 days or 4 days. Okay. And the reason why, and I told Squid and a couple of other guys, so I hope they passed it on. The reason why we're going to keep it on that blockchain, probably maybe to the probably in the middle of next year. And the reason is because every exchange in the world will list you if you're on the ERC20. It like literally will take them an hour to program their system to be able to list your coin. If you have your own native coin, so if you have your own blockchain with your own coin, it's a huge hassle. And most of the small exchanges, all that sort of stuff, they can't be asked. Okay. And I'd like to say it is more technical, but they just can't be asked because they can just list, they can take an ERC20 coin, literally code it for their exchange in a couple of hours, bish bash bosh, done. So for us, it's a
Hey
number.
Ed, can I quickly
Yeah.
interrupt you there? I'm just interested on how that technically works once the Daxi coin then moves to their own native blockchain and they are already listed then on the exchanges as a ERC20 token. Would that, to roll over, is that
Yeah, you look,
technically fair?
all you do is it's been done before. It's actually been done by a number of things. And it actually, a few years ago, it was actually a strategy of organizations. When the market really embraced ERC20 coins, which was late 2017, it suddenly the exchanges realized that instead of the bollocks you have to go through with a lot of native blockchains, which a lot of them are really difficult. We've got the programmers to be able to do these sort of things. Don't forget, we've got full exchange programmers who really understand this stuff. We're not having any outside organization build the blockchain. Our guys, some of you have met Bruno and Rafa. Really, Bruno is the genius. And these guys know blockchains. So they built blockchains. They know how to do this. They know how to list tokens and they have innovations. That's good. So the key thing is that the actual transfer from a ERC20 coin through to a native coin, that's actually not a difficult thing to do. It's just a process thing to do. So it's a matter of other coins have done it. I think Polkadot did it. Polkadot did it, which is one of the, I think it's number 6 or 7. I think they did in October, which is why when you look at their history, that's only it's only October or something last year. So it's not a big thing. It's well,
Binance
it's a,
did it too because they were first the ERC20
yeah, they
token
were.
until they
Yeah, they
launched
were. Yeah,
the
you're absolutely
native.
right. Yeah, it's and as I said, it's not a difficult thing to do. It's just a real process thing. And for us, what's important is that we get this year out of the way, get the coin up. As I said, we want it top 50. And I don't care if it's top 49 or number 4. The key thing is if you're top 50, it means you qualify. It means that Coinbase Pro and a few of those other guys will also take you on board. Coinbase Pro only has 46 coins. So you're up into that world of, hey, you're in the top 50. It means, if we had that by the end of the year, it would mean that we would have a daily based off what's happening today. It would mean, we could probably we we'd probably be going along at least a couple, at least at a couple of hundred million dollars a day liquidity. Okay, a couple of hundred million dollars a day liquidity, and will probably give us a market cap of north of $5 billion. So, at that sort of number, DaxiCoin has a has an attractive price as far as us as an organization is concerned. Where it'll be, who knows? I can't talk about where I think the price will be and all that sort of stuff. But with all of these things, you just actually have to build a business. You just got to build a business where people look at your business and go, okay, that thing has value because it makes sense. It's why Binance suddenly, the value of Binance just went mental in 3 days. Sorry, 3 weeks. Suddenly it goes from a couple of billion market cap to 50 billion market cap. And frankly, we'll have the big change that'll happen next year. Okay. And here's the, you heard it from me first. Okay. What will happen next year is when it comes to the infrastructure coins. So I was in the dot-com boom in the late 90s, and the real buzz was not websites, it was all infrastructure. It was Cisco, Nortel, it was communications, mobile phones, and all that sort of stuff. That was the real dot-com boom. And that created the infrastructure, which then created the digital revolution in the 2000 and 2010s, where suddenly the biggest companies in the world weren't oil companies and banks and industrials anymore. They were digital companies. But it was all based on what happened, the investment in infrastructure, digital infrastructure. And that's what's happening now. That's why these five of the top 10 coins are crypto infrastructure companies. Okay? That's why it's happening. And I always knew it would happen. That's why we created Daxi the way it's created. We're an infrastructure play. Okay? And the only difference with us is we're a niche infrastructure play because that's an area that we can dominate and own rather than trying to take on the big boys. Because this thing, we will share. We'll share a lot more information about this infrastructure, and you will see over the next 12 months, you will see, a lot more stuff from Ernst & Young, from the analysts, okay, from the Deloittes of the world, where they'll, where you'll see, you just Google what is the size of tokenization, okay? Of the future tokenization boom, and they'll be talking about numbers up to literally $250 trillion. And one day, if you really want to know how big it is, write out what $250 trillion looks like. Okay, it's 250 and then 12 flipping zeros. It's like mental. And all they're saying is they're saying that every share in the world. So there's $90 trillion. Every share in the world is going to be tokenized because it's just a lot easier to transact in a tokenization environment because all it means it's on a better form of database. And all it means that, your ability to swap currencies. And so, and if you look at property, it just makes a lot of sense to create liquidity around property by tokenizing it. Okay. And I don't want to, I don't want people to turn around and go, ooh, that's so visionary, or that sort of stuff. Because it's flipping not. It's just a logical application of technology. And all we're doing is positioning ourselves such that as a business, as I tell the guys, we just want to be linked in. Okay. When the whole world is talking about Facebook and MySpace and blah, 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 blah. Out of nowhere came LinkedIn. And people just went, oh, they're different. Oh, there's things. Oh, that's quite useful. Oh, and then someone, then I remember one day I went, what? They've got 250 million customers and are worth that? Yeah. And they have a really solid business case where real people spend real money, get real value, and it's niche. Okay. And that's where we'll be. Really solid niche business, which, because the market is enormous, we can be enormous as well. So what else are people asking? I just, you know, the only real questions that I've been asked is, number one, when can I sell? I go, well, you know, you can sell 29th of April if you really want to be so like that. I'm not allowed to, I've been told I'm not allowed to use the word stupid or idiot. So of course I don't want to use the word stupid or idiot, but if you really want to do that, we're not going to help you just as much as we don't want to put a gun in your head, in your hand. All right. But if you want to do it, we're sure someone will do it. And I'm sure there'll be a few people who go, okay, I'm going to see whether I can sell just to get a proof of this concept. Sure. You know, great, do that. Like, it's okay. And then in the next, so I still get people asking about the names of those exchanges, the tier two exchanges. Guys, we can't tell you. What we're telling is the truth. It's when you think about it, there's two things. Number one, they had real abuses, supposedly, we're told. Real abuses where someone, they've got an idea, they do a deal with an exchange, you know, 8 weeks out, they go, okay, we're listening with XYZ, big exchange. Everyone goes, yay, big exchange. And then they used to just raise money. And a couple of them also buggered off with that money and never listed. And so what happens is that the actual exchange's name get trashed. The other issue is that when you imagine the listing process, the exchange wants their people, do you understand? They get paid a listing fee, whatever happens, but the fact is they also want their people to buy the coin and create trading on their exchange, because that's how they make money, through trading fees. Do you know what I mean? They don't want it all talked about now. They 2 weeks out, so that they all think there's only a two-week things, but 2 weeks out, they make the announcement to their people about our listing, and that's it. That's, you know, literally they are adamant about it. They are adamant about it, that if we say anything, we get things. And as I said to another guy, like, why would we be so stupid to go on to about this process? Because when you actually think about, has anyone looked on CoinMarketCap and looked under the data partner rule? You know how I said that, oh, you've got to have data partners, you've got to be on listing on so many exchanges, or you can't be in the top 200. I don't know whether anyone's checked it out, but if you want to check it out, and if you can't get it right, just tell me and I'll help you understand. I'll help you understand that top 200 rule, that you have to be on those major things. And if you can also look on the thing called CoinGecko. So CoinGecko is the Singapore-based equivalent of CoinMarketCap. It's about, CoinMarketCap, I think, has nearly 700 million impressions a month, and CoinGecko has about 25 million. So CoinMarketCap's, as you can see, is a lot bigger. But they have the same rule. They have the same rule. We'll go on CoinGecko as well.
Just to expand on that, Ed, there's 8,700 coins that qualify for that data sharing requirement. How many coins don't? How many opportunities have everyone here been approached about this zippity-doo-dah coin that's not on CoinMarketCap? How many of those coins in the marketplace? There have to be hundreds of thousands of coins out there that will never qualify to go on CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko.
Oh, look, you can list on some pretty shitty exchanges and get on CoinMarketCap. You know, you start going out past a couple of thousand, number 2,000, or from 2,000 to 8,700. There's a lot of coins there, and they have no liquidity and all that sort of stuff. And I do, look, Squid, what you're referring to is there's a lot of opportunity-based coins that are out in the market, or they've been out in the market for, you know, raising money through all sorts of promotional schemes, let's say. Yep. The sheer fact that their chance of getting listed on a tier two exchange is 0.00 flipping zero. Okay, it'll never happen. Okay, having been through the process four flipping times, actually six times. We have another two that we're talking to as well at the moment, right? Having been through the process and been through what's called their due diligence, where some of these guys ask you the flipping size of your underwear, all right? Okay, it's like, holy shit, they were worse than some of the regulatory stuff. As always on me, and so I'm very aware of what happens. They have no chance. No chance, because they don't give a crap. Do you know what I mean? You just turn around and go, oh, well, it's going to cost you $150,000 to list on these things, okay? Yes, that's how much it costs, each $150,000. In fact, two of them are more than $200,000. But the point is that, you know, these are exchanges, guys, these are exchanges that are turning over $500 million per day. And even though they earn only a small percentage, okay, it's still a lot of money per day. So with all due respect, their reputation and everything, they're all now worried about reputation. So, you know, all this other stuff. If I've learned something over the last 4 years, being sitting in the place that I have, that the rewards in this industry are surreal, right? You know, when you have a look at the market capitalization of these coins, it's massive compared to the stock market. Do you know what I mean? If you had a billion dollar listing on the ASX, like, you know, you're on the front page of the AFR, right? You know, Wonder Kid. You know, Crypto Brownie, CEO of billion-dollar flipping crypto company, right? You know, you're a god. But in crypto, like, there is, you know, weird wavy coin, DeFi lender, you know, suddenly $1.3 billion market cap. And it looks as though some couple of kids in their underwear in granny's basement have created it. But you actually have a look behind these guys now, and these guys are, you know, five MIT professors, and they've got really, 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 really smart stuff. And that whole thing of getting on tier two exchanges, on getting on now the top 200 coins of market cap, your ability to be able to get it now versus what it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, has changed out of sight. And we welcome that just as much as we welcome, you know, just as much as we welcome regulation. Like, you know, as a company, you know, the license AFSL applications that we have, you know, that stuff that when you imagine it's all securities dealing and securities advice, no other crypto company has made that application in Australia. Because the idea that a company can take the people's money in Australia, that they can take the people's money and not have to have an AFSL and oversight from ASIC, is just bullshit. It's bullshit. So it's going to happen. So, you know, it's cost us $90,000 so far. All right. $90,000, and it will cost us probably another $70,000 to $80,000 just to get a license that we don't need. And the UK, if you think that's bad, the UK is like, holy crap, in dollar terms, it's over 200,000 of the licenses that, you know, we're going the application process for.
Ed, can I also ask you there regarding the ASX listing? Now I've got it. Of DAXI, where that's at, and how that
progresses. Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So just to put everyone in the right framework. So I've always said where the Australian business will list on the ASX. Okay, so we as an organisation have already had provisional approval to list on the ASX. You really need two things. Okay, number one, you've got to have the approval of a listing agent. Okay, so you need traditionally a stockbroker or an investment banker, normally a stockbroker. You need a stockbroker who is prepared to back you onto the ASX. Because don't forget, stock markets were just literally created by stockbrokers working together. Do you understand? So it was always hers the thing. So you need to, number one, have an organization, and number two, the listing body of the ASX has to approve you. Okay. So what that means is, the ASX looks at you and says, yeah, you are a sort of company that we want to even have the possibility of listing. And so we actually got the thumbs up of one of Australia's largest stockbrokers, most famous stockbrokers. I can't tell you who they are, obviously, but one of Australia's top stockbrokers have said, so the other director of Australia, who's Craig Smith Gander, who some of you have looked at LinkedIn, have a look at him. He's actually the chairman of, he's just become a chairman of another ASX listed company. He's on the board of Australian Surf Life Saving. He's the chairman of the Western Roads Federation. He's my oldest army buddy. Okay. So, all right. So I need to tell you, he's awesome. He's also a man I trust with my life. And he's, so Goosey is his name, Craig Smith Gander, but we call him Goose. Some of you have met him. You've met him, haven't you, Squid? Yeah. So, and Goosey is a pretty serious dude. And so he's all on board. And so we got the stockbrokers, and then the stockbrokers had a whisper to the ASX about this cool crypto company. And the ASX says, crypto? You got to be joking. So the problem is there's the only companies that's ever done crypto on the ASX was one shitty little organization that got in trouble with some stuff in the United States, and some bullshit Chinese organization who had a failed business model, so said they were going to launch an ICO and create some sort of stuff. So that was a couple of years ago. So we just got told, take a step back, wait for your time. There will come a time. Okay, so I actually had discussions about this last week. So depending on how things go, we may have a crack at getting on the ASX by the end of the year. Okay, we may, because as I said, the issue for us is not raising money. Like really, if we wanted to raise money, we could go to the DAXI crowd, and we would only do that when, you know, we had the ASX agreement in our hand. So we think the mindset of the ASX is going to change very quickly. Because the reality is there's really three things that will impact the ASX. Number one, you need to understand that the Singapore Stock Exchange is launching in crypto. So that's the closest stock exchange to the ASX. So we think that'll have a major impact on how they look at the space. Secondly, we expect a major bank or something like that to launch some sort of crypto thing. If not the ASX, you know, what's the NASDAQ and all these guys are doing it? Why wouldn't the ASX do it? You'd just be an idiot. So but to have a major bank or some organization. See, don't forget in the States, the biggest banks, whether it's, you know, Citi, Goldman, JP Morgan, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, you know, Fidelity, E-Trade, like the biggest trillion-dollar organizations are all in crypto. So it's not a matter of, are you going into crypto? It's just when and how. So there's got to be some announcements in Australia soon. Would you agree? You know, it's just the idea that not. So we expect that to happen sometime. And the last thing is that the listing of Coinbase in North America, the listing of Coinbase in North America will be quite dynamic. Do you know how much that's trading for at the moment? Do you know what I'm talking about, Coinbase listing? Okay, so Coinbase, which is the largest exchange in the United States, have announced that they are listing on the NASDAQ. I read their listing document. What's happening is they say that they are, that they, so what happens when you do that is they start trading your shares on the grain market. Do you know that? So they take your numbers and they do a whole lot of fake trading. Do you know how much they're valued Coinbase at? $100 billion. it's fluctuating between $85 and $115 billion at the moment. If you ever listen to podcasts, I listen to Pomp. There's a guy named Popiano. He's a very, very famous crypto New York things. And he was saying in a podcast a few days ago that Coinbase was trading in that range. So look, if Coinbase goes on the NASDAQ at $100 billion, are you telling me those sharks down there in Martin Place or wherever they are in the CBD in Sydney or Melbourne won't be turning around and going, holy hell, where's some crypto companies to buy? Get it, guys? And it's why at the moment we're organising things. So for those of you that know, I've been spending the last few weeks interviewing a new Australian CEO, a new head of marketing, a new head of sales. Okay. So I've been, and I think I've found all three. I certainly found the last one, and I've probably found number two. And depending on some interviews, I may have found the CEO as well. I personally will withdraw as a director from Australia. Okay. And Goose is getting ready to put the board together just to set everything up. Like, it takes a few months to do that. You do understand, right? But once you're doing that, we're about to, our AUSTRAC, so we're about to have, we have an independent audit of AUSTRAC to make sure that's credible. As I said, AFSL, board, management, office, wealth promotion, all that sort of stuff. So it's all just like the UK. You know, we're on track. Like, we couldn't list on the ASX today because we know they still haven't mentally embraced it, but it won't take them long. It won't take them long. If it's not, you know, it'll take them 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, but we'll be all ready. Do you see what I mean? You know, audited accounts, all that sort of stuff. Everything has been designed to ensure that that's cool. And so we'll go on ASX, and we're going on the ASX not to raise money. We're going on the ASX to be able to buy companies. Do you hear what I just said?
What type of companies?
Other crypto companies.
What type of other crypto companies?
anything with a customer base. I don't give a shit about their technology. Our technology is probably better than that. I don't care about their people. But what happens is all industries go through a consolidation phase. And when that happens, it's a matter of you also want to be the boy. Look, there's a whole lot of people who want to get involved in crypto, but they don't want to buy crypto coins. I was yakking to our lawyer today, and our lawyer sits on the board of Blockchain Australia. So he's considered the leading lawyer in Australia when it comes to crypto. And so I was having a good yak to him about what's happening. And he says the market is slowly changing. You know, he's He works for a big firm in Sydney, and he says the market's slowly changing. And I explained all the things that I'm explaining to him, and he goes, yeah. He said, you are one of the best positioned companies in Australia. You're the only one focusing on the space, on the way we're doing it, which to him makes a lot more sense. Because the market has to get regulated. It has to go through that next evolutionary cycle. And whoever wins that, they're the guys who get the 20 years of growth. Do you understand? It was all very well owning MySpace, but when Facebook won, Facebook gets the 20 years of growth. Do you know what I mean? They're the ones that are positioned to succeed. So, and as I said, it's like this stuff isn't rocket science. You just have to have the knowledge and experience to really be exposed to it. So, you know, and so everything we've done has always been designed with what the hell's going to be obvious. What's going to be the fight? What's going to be the big game? Helping people buy a bit of Bitcoin gets you in the game. Gets you in the game. Okay? We need to dramatically accelerate what we're doing, which is why, you know, I'm hiring, you know, all the people that I'm hiring at the moment to get us in the game, but to accelerate what we're doing. But other than that, it's the sort of things that we've been working on for a long time. Because someone wants to copy you when it comes to licensing and all that sort of stuff, you know, if they're 12 months behind you, they can't accelerate the licensing process. Do you understand what I mean? It's going to, if it takes you 12 months, guess what? It takes you 12 months. And if someone's already got it, then you're 12 months behind them, whether you like it or not. Okay. So that's our thought process. Now, come on, hold it. I'm just yakking. I'm yakking. You need to ask me some questions. Otherwise, it's not ask me anything. It's more like Ed, have a rave.
Ed, it's Nikki here. Good morning from England.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask the same question Dee asked, but in relation to the LSE.
Yep.
London
Stock Exchange, guys. Yeah.
Would the Australian Exchange be ahead of the London Stock Exchange?
No, both of them as organisations are about the same. It seems like at the same place as far as the listing things. You know, the ASX, both of those organisations are pretty, you know, known to be very highly credible organisations, and they just they're a little bit responsive. You know, you got to understand the big money is not in crypto yet, because the big money needs custodial services. So that's why, as an organization, we are changing our custodial situation, whereby all UK customer assets will be kept, will be controlled by British nationals. All Australian customer assets will be controlled by Australian nationals, and therefore have to operate under the laws of Australia or laws of the UK. Do you understand? Like, all the assets held by Binance, no one, as people who know me have known me for a while, I go on and on about the fact that no one has any idea who is controlling that money. And it is tens and tens, if not hundreds, of billions of dollars that are controlled by people who you don't even know whether they're based in flipping Seychelles. And Binance, which is the big boy, claims to be in Malta, and it's not. That is a fundamental lie. So they are even lying where they're based, because even the Maltese government have said these guys have never even approached us for a license. And they control probably $100 billion worth of customer assets, and no one knows who has the money. No one. And the only thing we know is that no one is that they refuse to get regulated. So we're the opposite. So our next thing, by the end of this month, you'll know that we've even separated our customer assets such that we are, and I heard today, this was the other useful thing, I heard today from our lawyer that they are making a submission to ASIC over custodial of digital assets. And I told him what we were doing, and he started laughing, and he said, "Perfect, Ed, that's what you need to do." See? And that way, you know, that's the way, you know, because don't forget, you know, as I said, with the guys that we're talking, you know, we're in the process of hiring for Australia, the corporate team in Australia, they're all going to come from a wealth background. Or, well, the CEO might not, but the other guys are going to come from a wealth background. Not because the world listens to their accountant or they have a financial advisor. It's just that those guys own the heartland of the wealth industry. Do you understand? They're the guys who are the most influential. So we're going to spend a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time educating those guys, and that because they hate the fact that their clients are buying crypto from people like us. And they don't know what things, so we're going to educate them. Same thing, Nikki, Andy and Catherine are doing the same thing. You know, we just look, you know, we have such good news also coming out of the UK. So it's like, you know, what happens with these things is eventually you get a mojo on. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, and we would get at least 10 times more money from a client coming into Daxi on average than the other exchanges do for the average customer thing. And the reason is we look after people and they increasingly trust us. It's not a matter of being what's called trustless. So crypto, they talk about being trustless. But the problem with being trustless is that it means you're on your own. It's the sort of idea which says, hey, look, you know, you need to put all your assets off an exchange and put it on a little, you know, little Trezor storage device. And then everyone forgets their password and loses their stick and loses their money. But it's about being trustworthy as an organization. And, you know, we try and do that. I wish we were better at some things and that sort of stuff. But at least those of you that have known us for 2 or 3 years, at least you know you can trust us, right? Do you know what I mean? At least you can trust us. And that's really where, if you want to take the long-term thing, that's the key. Is there any other questions? I really, really want to make sure that you guys, like this next 2.5 weeks until the end of the DAC pack and that sort of stuff, it's a pretty important 2.5 weeks, right?
Hell yeah.
When people understand, you know, we need to take this message out because, you know, they're just going to miss out. They're just going to miss out. And it's when you guys, are you guys sort of understanding how this whole Daxi chain thing? Sure. Yeah, the new version was either launched today or it'll be tomorrow morning. It's sort of, I had a look. The only thing that I need to say about the blue paper is that we can't change, we can't make any material change on the blue paper because for all exchange listings, they take your blue paper, or they call it a white paper. Okay. They take your paper on your coin. And you have to get what's called a legal opinion on that. So we've had, you know, we paid a lot of money for a legal opinion in Singapore and in Europe. And if we materially change that paper, it invalidates the legal opinion, which invalidates the listing. Yeah. So look, as I said, it's been changed, and if the website hasn't been updated with the new blue paper, it will be tomorrow. Yeah, but as I said, it's like, you know, I wanted to add a lot more about the blockchain and all that sort of stuff, but I've been told very bluntly by those of you that know Tim or Lawson, I've been told very bluntly that if I touch that, I will die a death. Because, it, you know, lawyers, it's a, you know, it's a 20,000 Aussie dollar one piece of paper. And we really don't want to pay that again. And it also takes a lot of time. And we don't obviously want to invalidate it. So we're going to add some other assets. It's just for us. We do really want your questions. We do really want to know, you know, what is there anything else? Is there anything else I can do to help you just be clear about things?
I think you've covered an amazing amount of material tonight. Crypto Brownie has got a really big sweat down his back now because he's more excited about Daxi than Link ever. So good on you, Brownie. But look, I think everyone now truly realises the ramifications of that simple decision to go over to New York more than a bit years ago now. You know, the strategy with what you're doing, the way you're doing it, the pace at what you're doing it, it's going to get done. And that's the key to this. It's not about, you know, flash and pomp and glitz and everything around. It's just that the strategy for the last 3.5 years that we've been working with Daxi is, it's just perfect. It's just all lining up perfectly for a very, very attractive listing for the world. And then the evolution of this, of the listing, is next year when we actually tell the world what we're really doing. And I think a lot of the world and a lot of the exchange are going to get their pants caught down, because regulations are going to come in and they're going to shut down some of these really big exchanges. They're just going to shut them down. And the last man standing will be Daxi with this crazy community dinners and webinars and blockchain boys meetups, and, you know, everyone's buying, you know, buying and supporting each other, which no one else has even thought about doing because they're just focusing on Bitcoin. It's only,
well, they're also very digital. You know, they're also very digital. It's the same. Look, it's the same mistake that they've made with all the neo banks, all the digital challenger banks. Those challenger banks are in real trouble now because they have, you know, they have 2 million customers and no revenues.
Yeah.
You know, they're not making any money, and it's just their funders are just sick of pushing money in because they forget the fact that, you know, for a lot of people, money is scary. Money is confusing. Money is worrying. You know, people work hard for their money. It takes them a long time to build their wealth, to build their money. And the last thing they bloody need is people, you know, being cool with their money. Like, who gives a crap about being cool? It's about being, what's something that when I turn around in 10 years' time, you know, if I put, you know, 20 grand down now, in 10 years' time, you know, am I going to get 100 grand, or am I, you know, in keeping the normal things, am I going to get 5 grand? 10 grand, you know, am I going to get 30 grand? What's the difference? You know, it's those, you know, all the graphs that, you know, and everyone uses those because they're true. That's the way it works. You know, and I honestly, I really appreciate some of you guys, because let's be honest, it's been a journey, isn't it? Like when you think about, we thought, we thought, 2019, the sort of thing that's happening now was meant to happen by 2019, 2020, and now it's happening in 2021. In reality, the tokenization thing is going to happen 2022, 2023, when that's really, it's when it's going to be obvious, when people will turn around and go, holy hell, this stuff is really, really, really big. And by that time, as an organization, that, you know, we'll be so hooked up into what the ASX is doing, into what the professional financial world is doing. And that's really where the heartland of money is. You know, and we'll be the first. We'll be the first there with smiley faces. Is there anything else I can do?
I think we're all full bottle edits. We're just on the hour. Perfect. And I, you know, everyone knows that I like to be on time with my webinar starting and finishing, but I know it's very, very late over in the New Zealand.
It's Friday.
So I think it's
Friday. Cool.
Every day's a work day.
Hey, look, it's super, as I said, guys, it's super, super exciting about things. Look, please, please, please make sure you tell us if there are any questions, tell us any things we should say, give us any ideas that'll help us there. Our content ability as far as a company is finally starting to accelerate with under Wayne, and people are joining all the time, which is really, really cool. We're at that point where we're adding people. Do you understand where we're adding people and things are changing and all that sort of stuff? So I don't want to make excuses, but just so long as you understand that the really big thing that will create all the big money won't happen till next year. Got it? Everything that we do, we need to be building, 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 building this year, but next year when things really start to accelerate, and that's when the money will be in coins. And if people sell their coins this year, honestly, I just want to slap them. But I'm not allowed to say that. But
talking to the Aussies now, where you can say it in Australian webinars, but maybe not elsewhere. But
not so thanks. But it's just like I don't know what. I'm also looking for your ideas of how we explain that to people, to try and explain that this sort of what we're doing this year is really actually just the start. Do you know what I mean? That's actually the start. The big stuff happens over the next couple of years. And, you know, I just don't want those people, you know, I don't know how many people I've met, as I said, who go, "Ooh, I bought Bitcoin when it was $1,000. Wow, that's amazing. Did you sell it?" "Yeah, I sold it." "How, what for?" $3,000. "Oh, that's great. You made 200%, dickhead." Do you know what I mean? Like they must feel sick as a dog where it's now it's 50 grand and everyone's talking about, you know, 250 grand. Because, hey, they were talking about 250 grand back there as well. You know, everyone.
Ed, one quick question I have regarding holding on to the Daxi coin, because you said there would be a staking option. Will that be already implemented before the 29th of April or will that come later?
Yeah, it will. But I say that assuming these techies get off their ass and finally do it. And so they promised me, and it's not a very complex thing, to be quite honest. We're going to go for something simple just to get the damn thing. But with what all the things that we do, when you imagine we've got all the listing APIs, you've got all the evolution of this blockchain is like a 12-month processes as well. And then, you know, you've also got this thing where we're going to put 50 exchanges and up to 100 actually exchanges on one tech platform. You know, it's like you got to feel for the bastards. I don't feel for them because they let me down too many times, but then again, I've let them down enough times. But they tell me the staking thing will be ready, and it will be simple. It'll like only be a 6 or 12 month deal. Something pretty simple, just so people, you know, we want to lock people up. People like me and others, we have to lock our coins up anyway.
Any idea about the percentage staking rewards?
God, you're just dying. I just knew that.
Come on, tell us.
No. I'm not. Holy crap. Everyone else is confused.
I've been answering these questions for about a year and a half now. It's your turn to answer one question.
God. No, I'm not telling him. I'm not telling him. No, I'm not going to listen to you. Look, the point is that we want people to stake because it's a really good thing for them to do. The exchanges want that. We want minimum amounts actually in the marketplace. As I said, for me, it's like people like me have to escrow it for a long time anyway. But that's cool. Well, you know, if you don't believe in your business, you know, what are you?
Yeah.
You know. Hey, look.
All right, guys. Look, thanks, Ed. I know you're up. If anyone wants to wake up for the UK webinar tomorrow morning, it's at 6 a.m. Ed will be a lot more polite and more politically correct in the morning. So there'll be no idiots references or slap you in the face because you're an idiot selling your coins in that webinar, but you guys are a bit tougher than those the Pommy guys, so I'm sorry, Nikki and Ben. But look, I think everyone has a bit bigger picture of what the Sunday night webinar was about from tonight. Who would agree with that? Yeah, look, I think we all see there's some very big growth in the Daxi coin and the Daxi company and the Daxi exchange and your personal wealth. Now, like I said on the Telegram chat, I'm going to sell my rubbish coins before I even touched my Daxi coin. My Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum are going. I am not selling my Daxi coin for a very long time. I'm going to make sure that I get maximum value out of those coins, and that's what leverage is all about. So thank you, Reg. Appreciate your time. Go hit the sack. Go have a half a glass of wine and go cuddle your pillow up and go to bed, and up early for the UK guys. Hope you do as good a job for them. Everyone really appreciates your time. Who's had a good night tonight? Yeah, I think everyone got some big value out of tonight.
And, pleasure.
We need to share the story a lot more effectively in the next couple of weeks so that we let everyone know what's going on with Daxi. But I'm doing an AMA, same link, on Sunday night. Look forward to catching everyone on Sunday night. And we've got the check-ins tomorrow morning at 9 and 4 o'clock. Good night, Ed. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Night, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Andrew.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
See you, Ed. Bye. See you, buddy.
Good night, everyone.